Hello, Christian friends. This is your teacher, C. Ernest Tatum, of North Palm Beach, Florida, where I serve in a pastoral and Bible teaching ministry. I'm delighted to be with you today, and I'm sure that we're going to have a time of real spiritual profit, one and all, as we meet together from time to time to study this tremendously important course, The Good News. It's very encouraging, I think, to realize that we are among some 60,000 or more keen Christian folk all over the country who are studying in the courses of the Moody Correspondence School. The Moody Correspondence School of Chicago has produced these courses, and we are encouraged to submit our questions to the Moody Correspondence School as questions may arise. Now, of course, there'll be a good deal of discussion in our class sessions, and the class leader will indeed, I'm sure, have many of the answers for us. But we want you to feel free to also write in to the Moody Correspondence School and submit your questions, and a member of the staff there will be very happy to correspond with you and seek to give you that spiritual help which you feel is necessary. Now, the purpose of this course, The Good News, is to emphasize in a simple and direct and biblical way the great basics of the Christian faith. Now, you'll see how this is structured by glancing at the table of contents. You'll notice that lesson number one, for example, concerns the wonderful miracle. I'm sure that we, as well as many of our friends whom we've known, have experienced a life-changing miracle. We've seen men and women really given fresh direction in their lives, and their lives have taken on new and significant meaning. And this is really the wonderful miracle of the new birth. Now, we're also going to look in lesson number two of the necessity that underlies the new birth. Why is it such an imperative? In lesson number three, we're going to look at the ugly fact of sin and notice the problem that has arisen, how a righteous God can save unrighteous men and women and yet be righteous in doing it. And the solution, of course, will be given according to the Word of God, and we'll see in lesson number five that this has its basis in the finished work of Jesus Christ our Lord on the cross of Calvary. The cross is the basis of all spiritual blessing for men. And, of course, this flows out of His amazing grace. And this will bring us to lesson number six in our course, The Good News, The Amazing Grace of God. And then lesson number seven will concern the way of salvation. And we're going to study simply and directly the great truth of God's way of salvation. And I'm sure that this will resolve many of our doubts and questionings. I like the title of lesson number eight, don't you? The Rock Beneath. My, I tell you how important it is to have a rock beneath our feet, especially in these days of the shifting sands of theological opinion. And then in lesson number nine, we're going to distinguish the difference between my feelings and God's facts, while lesson 10 brings us to the Christian standing and state. Now, you may be wondering what that's all about, but we'll see that that the position that the Christian occupies before God should have its answer in our enjoyed experience down here. It doesn't always work that way, but we're going to see the distinction between our standing and our state. And then the final lesson concerns the great choice. Well, it looks good, doesn't it? It really looks good. And you'll notice that there's a very definite continuity between these lessons. Now, if you and I want to get the most out of this course, we're going to take it very seriously. We're going to go over these lessons. It's going to be absolutely imperative that we read the lesson in advance of our coming together in group study. We're going to read the lesson material. And after we go through the lesson material, I mean before we come together, I should go to the exam and just go down these questions and see how many of them I can answer. And if some of them throw me, as it were, then I'll know that I've missed something somewhere along the line. I've missed the answer to that question in the material. So I'll go back over the lesson again and check it out. Check out all the scriptural references, too. And then go back to the examination and see if I can handle that question that gave me a little difficulty the first time I faced it. Well, we'll do that ahead of time each time. Now, you'll need a Bible. You'll need a Bible. Get a good Bible. Don't settle, unless it's absolutely necessary, don't settle for a cheap Bible. Get a good one. And then you'll need, of course, this course. Don't forget to bring it each time. And then it might be a good idea to have a notebook and a pen as well, in order that we might jot down some of the new material. For I shall not be reading the lesson. You'll be doing that. However, I will be following the main structure of the lesson. I'll be going through it point by point and adding new material and enlarging here and amplifying there. And you may want to jot some of these things down in your notebook. Now, your class leader, I'm sure, will be very, very happy to guide you in these outlines. And I feel sure that we're going to have a grand time together. And as a result of our study, we'll be in a better position to intelligently grasp the good news of God, in order that we might enjoy these things more in our own everyday experience, that our lives will become glowing and with growing grace, and we'll become witnessing Christians as well. And so, it's necessary then that we turn to every passage in the Word of God. You'll notice that some of the verses are just referred to. Some of them are spelled out word by word. But whatever, we'll need to take and concentrate on exactly what God says in His Word. All right. Now, let's turn to lesson number one. We want to look at this today. You'll notice the title of it is A Wonderful Miracle. You know, God is still in the miracle-working business. And I'm sure that you have friends, as I have, who during the recent months, or perhaps the last two or three years, have experienced a life-changing miracle, that the Bible has become a new book, and the Lord Jesus Christ has become a real near and dear friend. And we find that they, with ourselves, have new aspirations and new appetites. And our friends have noticed this change, perhaps. And they've said, well, what's happened to you anyhow? Or what's happened to that man? And you and I know the answer to that. The answer to that is that they and we have experienced the miracle of the new birth. But then, what do we mean by the miracle of the new birth? What's this all about? Well, basically, it's simply this, that sin is a spiritual disease of the heart. You see, men basically are wrong. Men's hearts need to be changed. God does not affect this change by dealing with symptoms. He goes to the disease. He doesn't try to change the sour apple tree by pulling off the sour apples, because the trouble is not with the fruit, the trouble is with the root. Now, if we turn in our New Testaments to John's Gospel, chapter 1, that's the fourth Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the fourth Gospel, the first chapter, I want to read with you the first three... Now, let me see. I want to read with you verses 11, 12, and 13. Now, this supplements the material in the first lesson of our course. John 1, verse 11, 12, and 13. He came unto his own. Now, wait a minute. Who came unto his own? The Lord Jesus came unto his own, yes? And his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power, or the authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now I said a moment ago that the trouble is on the inside, not the outside. I'm reminded of the man who was trying to clean the spot off the big plate glass window of the store. There was a tremendous dirty smudge on that plate glass window, and the man was working hard. On the outside, he was rubbing and puffing and panting and using all kinds of detergents and getting nowhere when someone shouted and said, "Hey, mister, the trouble's on the inside. The spot's on the inside. Go around and try the other side." That's right. And this is true of human nature. It's not so much the smudge on the outside, but it's the heart that needs to be changed. Now, in the passage that we have read together, we have the question answered as to what the new birth is not and what it is. Look at verse 13. The new birth, it says, is not of blood. That means that it's not by natural generation. Though one may be born of Christian parents, this doesn't constitute me a Christian. It's not of blood, nor is it of the will of the flesh. That means it's not by self-determination. Just as a child cannot will itself to be born physically, so no one can produce the new birth by his own efforts. And then thirdly, it says it's not of the will of man, but of God. That is, it's not by human mediation. No human being, however eminent his position, can impart the new birth to another. So it's not by natural generation, it's not by self-determination, and it's not by ceremonialism that one is born again. How is one born again? Well, the answer is in verse 12. As many as received him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. So, there is something to believe, and there's someone to receive. It's opening the heart and receiving the living Christ into the heart and life by a definite act of faith that brings about, by the Holy Spirit, the miracle of the new birth. Well, we're going to return to this subject in our next session. In the meantime, be sure to read the lesson material and ponder these verses in John's Gospel, chapter 1. God bless you. Until we meet again.